Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You brought this to my attention, Seth. I had not seen the Patriots play the Giants tonight. Yeah. And the I am anxious to see this game. We get actual preseason football, not the Hall of Fame game, but like this is really week one of the preseason starts tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the Giants and the Patriots. We knew that whatever plan Bill Belichick was coming up with to give Mac Jones the best chance to thrive as a second-year quarterback was going to be some kind of janky plan when it got to be like June and July and he doesn't have an OC yet. He's just got a bunch of his old cronies in the building.
Which has happened before very good seasons, in fact. Once where, you know, yeah. Bill O'Brien was the de facto offensive coordinator, but he was still, I think, in name, he was either the quarterbacks or wide receivers coach. He did that with Brian Flores and yeah. Matt Patricia. They were the defensive coordinators before they were actually the defensive coordinators. But those were guys who were coaching their respective sides of the field as position coaches.
They were also coaching Thomas Brady.
Yes,
as well.
One Tom Brady.
We should
yes.
point that out.
Yes. So I thought that a lot of this talk in the offseason about Matt Patricia being the offensive coordinator and Joe Judge being the quarterbacks coach was just a whole bunch of fluff and that there was something else going on. But, man,
I looked at it like one of those things I need to double check on Twitter. Like, okay, is this ball sack trying to get over again?
Belichick's done unconventional things before and not named it, so maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't. I feel like they jumped the shark this time because I'm reading this assessment of Mac Jones going through a day at practice. Somebody followed him around. I think it was in The Athletic. And it's Matt Patricia's the offensive coordinator. Joe Judge, who has 1 year of coaching experience as an offensive coach. He was a wide receivers coach. Other than that, he's been special teams guy.
Yeah. And a failure as a head coach.
Yeah, and Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator. Not a very popular one. By the way, the one that led up, I think it was 873 points against the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And not a very good head coach is the offensive coordinator. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, Belichick is an incredible coach, but this is a second-year quarterback, Mac Jones, going from Josh McDaniels, who, like, I've had my criticisms of Josh McDaniels, but damn, he did a good job with Mac Jones last year. He obviously did a great job with Tom Brady all those years. You know, he's got some level of responsibility for that. To go from Josh McDaniels to a couple of, you know, Belichick's a defensive coach too.
Right.
He knows everything, but he's still better at defense than he is at offense. I'm very, very skeptical of this working out for Zach.
I love that they're doing this as somebody who roots against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
This feels like, it feels like the Juan Castillo moment with Andy Reid when Andy Reid had been an incredibly successful coach. Not as successful, obviously, as Bill Belichick, but he'd gone to four NFC championship games in a row. Ultimately, he'd never won a Super Bowl. He was a very, very good coach. But then, for God knows what reason, 1 year decided, hey, Juan Castillo, defensive coach, should be my offensive coordinator. And, of course, it was a mess. And it just, it weirdly feels like they're just phoning it in somehow.
Dude, it feels like Belichick is like this octogenarian patriarch of a company. And his bumbling kids are failing out in the real world, so he brings them back into the company, and instead of just giving them a desk job and probably an inflated salary, he makes them the CFO,
Right.
And the COO of the organization.
I can trust these people.
Right, yeah, right, right.
Those
it's
other,
like, no, it's like
other bums out there.
Succession, where they make the Culkin kid the chief operating officer, and he's doing things in his office.
Is it Macaulay Culkin?
I think it was his brother played the...
Oh, really?
I think so. I think that's a Culkin, yeah.
I think Macaulay's like a successful stage actor.
Is he?
I always feel bad. You always read about this, like, this is the best stage actor who ever lived. I'm like, cool. Nobody knows him.
Greatest AA baseball player of all time.
Yeah, he works part-time at a grocery store.
He's Crash Davis. Yeah.
So I think that it looks good for Davis Mills. I think if anything, it's a good sign for Davis Mills.
Yeah, so let's go through this here.
Because I think Davis Mills has a much more supportive staff around him than, ironically, what Bill Belichick has for Mac Jones.
Yeah, it's so... I mean, if you stack rank the quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks from last year, the now second-year quarterbacks, there's six that are going to start in week one.
Mm-hmm.
I've got them listed here in front of me, and you laid it out perfectly with Mac Jones. If we're assessing the situation, not the quarterbacks themselves, but just what have the teams done for these quarterbacks this offseason to set them up to make that leap from rookie year to year two, Mac Jones is, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a -3. Davis Mills, scale of 1 to 10, they've improved at offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
We like the head coach better.
I'm not optimistic about the run game right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've been getting just slaughtered at times by the defense. So between pass protection and running the ball, that interior offensive line right now, based on nothing but practice against their own teams, maybe I'm just overreacting to it. I'm not optimistic about that. I think Nico Collins is going to be a lot better. The tight ends are, there's some intrigue there, but there's nobody I feel awesome about. So I'm going to say he's at about a 5.
About a 5. Yeah. Okay. So they're about a 5. Yeah. So that's, we got Jones, horrible as far as improving his situation in New England. Mills says, Seth says, about a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. What about Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence, boy, they spent heavily.
Addition by subtraction.
They overspent, right, yeah. They overspent on good free agents.
Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
They overpaid
offensive
for
line.
Him.
Yeah. They went defense in their draft, but I like the guys that they selected.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, probably one or two of them isn't going to work out, and they're rookies to begin with, so I don't think they're going to get immediately better on defense other than because of some of the free agency stuff, too. So I've put Trevor Lawrence at a 5 also.
I think so,
too. They did some things to help him, but it's not like any of it felt like, okay, they've completely revamped this offense.
Dude, I mean, I think replacing Urban Meyer with a cardboard cutout would have been an improvement at head coach. I think Doug Peterson is at least respected, and he's an offensive coach, a former quarterback. So there's three more. Zach Wilson, I mean, at least on paper, he looks like the second-year quarterback where the team has made the biggest effort to try to set him up to succeed. And they need to. He was statistically one of the worst rookie quarterbacks of the last 20 years.
And Mekhi Becton, who's been a huge disappointment, did him the favor of tearing his Achilles. So that's one other way they've improved.
We haven't mentioned, they did bring in Dwayne Brown for a visit.
That's right. They did.
Yeah.
We had talked about whether Dwayne Brown would play this year or not. And he's still chugging along. And I think he might end up being like the new Andrew Whitworth. A guy that's seemingly at the end of his career, but maybe latches on to not the Jets, but perhaps a team that's got a real chance at a Super Bowl.
Did Andrew Whitworth follow you on Twitter this week?
I don't know. Why would that have happened?
He followed me on Twitter. That's why I'm asking. And it's definitely him. It's verified.
He might be trying to get into the media.
He only had like 9,000 followers. So he may be on Twitter for the first time.
Because people are saying, like, hey, you got to get on Twitter if you want to get into the media.
Here's
or
who to follow for each of the teams, blah, blah, blah.
He doesn't follow me.
Really?
And I literally followed his wife once out of the Super Bowl media night.
Yeah.
Tell him that when you talk to him. When you DM
him.
Yeah,
you may want to add some context.
You're like, hey,
to
my
story.
Co-host followed your wife.
He'll definitely follow you on Twitter for that.
Close yet unnoticed distance.
Let me double check real quick.
Real quick story. I was trying to find my way out of the Super Bowl media event, and I didn't know where I was going, and I saw Andrew Whitworth's wife with like a film crew with her, and I was like, well, they're leaving. Yeah. They look like they know where they're going, and I ended up almost just getting on a Rams bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, see? Look, Andrew Whitworth, verified, follows at Sean T. Pendergast. You know, he knows what's up, man.
He's got to look a little bit like a Mark Schlereth a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Got a lot of gray in that beard, no doubt. Zach Wilson, I would say scale of 1 to 10, it's his is the closest to a 10 in terms of his team making improvements.
Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, Garrett Wilson. I mean, Corey Davis was already there. I'm just thinking about his
Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, yeah. and then the Ruckert kid from Ohio State.
Yeah, I would say, let's say, without still being overly impressed with that offense or anything, I'd say they pulled off a six on the level of increasing his support.
I think definitely above Mills and Lawrence for sure. Like the last two, Trey Lance is going to be the starting quarterback in San Francisco. I don't know how much they needed to do in San Francisco there. I mean, they were already a pretty good team. They re-signed Deebo Samuel. So, you know, they're break even on that. Like, Deebo didn't go anywhere. They didn't trade him for draft picks.
I think that okay, if all we're grading is how much did they actually help and improve, they were already in a pretty good position.
They were already pretty good,
So they were a paltry three in terms of improving his odds.
They didn't have much room to improve. The big one for me, other than...
Chicago?
Yes. Justin Fields.
Okay. Man, I feel bad for Bears fans, man. They're so miserable. They're openly mocking themselves now. Chicagoans were once
go live there for 3 years. You won't feel as bad. For
proud
them,
city. Hear my barbaric yelp and all that stuff. And yawp, I think.
Yeah, Dead Poets Society. Yeah, yawp. Yawp. Yeah.
It was first. Yeah, but it was Walt Whitman.
Yeah, Walt Whitman. Okay. Yeah, but I learned about it from the Dead Poets
Society. So they were once strong and proud. They're about to be overtaken by Houston in terms of the third largest city in America, and now Bears fans are basically just. Whipping themselves everywhere they go. Like, I know we suck. I know we suck. Yeah,
Most teams tear it down and then draft their quarterback.
Yeah.
The Bears drafted their quarterback, then decided to tear it down a year later.
Yeah.
Poor Justin Fields.
So what are their, let's see, their audition, their additions in terms of helping him out, more than anything.
They let Allen Robinson walk in free agency.
Yeah, you got a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
You acted like you had drafted nobody at all. It feels like they're pulling a Josh Rosen on him, but without actually also still drafting a new quarterback.
Yeah, I truly think, if you're asking me to pick a team that could be, that will be, you got to pick a team that's picking number one in the draft. I think it might be Chicago. That's a really, really bad football team that is being run very poorly and whose best player wants to be traded right now, Roquan Smith. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, speaking of Davis Mills, he was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, and McAfee asked him, did you play any other sports while you were growing up?
Baseball player, any other sports?
I played football, basketball, and baseball growing up. Got a black belt in Taekwondo at a young age.
What?
A little bit of everything.
In what? Taekwondo?
Taekwondo. It's a Korean form of martial arts.
Taekwondo?
Taekwondo, yeah. Look it up.
Taekwondo?
Choi.
Choi.
Choi. Yes.
Strikes, throwing, leverage, what is it?
A little bit of everything. Self-defense, discipline.
Black belt's a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to walk through and they just beat the shit out of you with that thing? Is that happening?
Punching through boards, throwing ninja stars, a little bit of everything.
Okay, the reaction.
Nothing gets the 12-year-old in you more excited than Ninja Stars.
Ninja
man.
Star. That was the best part of that audio was the last 4 seconds.
Dude, do you remember when you were a kid and you wanted to be a ninja? And you've had this feeling that, like, ninjas...
No.
Really?
You never wanted
to be a ninja?
No, I didn't get into all the kung fu and stuff like
My
that.
My stepbrother had, like, the actual ninja outfit with the stupid
really?
Little
the mask and everything?
Slippers and everything, yeah. My stepbrother was kind of a scary dude, like, athletically and everything, and was into all that. But it was also into that stuff, which makes for a... When you got a psychotic older brother and a psychotic older stepbrother that's
who's
into
ninja?
Martial arts and ninja-ing, yeah. Makes for a fun childhood. So... Yeah, so I always wanted... He had nunchucks, whatever.
Yeah.
I just thought it was nunchucks, but whatever.
I did too.
And I think he had a couple throwing stars, too. Yeah. The kids at school that have throwing stars are always the kids who should least have throwing stars.
Right.
Because this was back before the internet.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm sure it's pretty easy to find some throwing stars. Ben, order me a throwing star before the end of
Look it up on Amazon, Ben.
But back then, like, you had to do some work to get yourself some throwing stars, and it would scare the... I'd be more scared of a throwing star still to this day.
No.
Then I wouldn't AR-15.
And it was always the East parking lot hoodlums that had them in high school. Yeah.
So
what is this Troy...
Choi Kwang Do, Sean. Yeah. Look it up. He said look it up. Like, yeah, I'll spell that right the first time.
Dude, no
Thanks,
chance.
Davis.
No chance.
He spelled out the Choi.
Yeah.
That was the only part I would have gotten
right.
That's
all he's going to give him.
Yeah, Choi Kwang Do. What Pat didn't understand is what I already knew implicitly from my time studying the martial arts. It relies on... flexibility and fluidity of movement.
Okay.
As opposed to the more rigid lines of some other martial arts.
Yeah.
To achieve this, it employs yoga-based stretching. This is where my interest was piqued. to develop the flexibility of the practitioners.
Okay.
So it's kind of, it sounds like one of these, sounds like one of these martial arts where it's less violent and more like using people's momentum against them and stuff.
Yeah. Or if it's the gyrations you're doing right now, you look like one of those inflatables outside a car dealership when they're got 0% financing for 72 months.
I'm smooth and supple. I practice my own. I read an article about martial arts once and I started
I can tell.
The breathe in, breathe out with the like Daniel-san thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's the thing though. The founder, Choi Kwang Joe,
Is that really his name?
Yeah, okay. Yes, it was. With no E at the end. I'm like, hey, I'm Joey Kwan Joe.
Full name Joseph. Yeah.
Like, he's no Joey Kwan Joe. So Davis Mills, he's no Joey Kwan Joe.
Right.
But he's, let's see if he lives up to the promises.
Oh, let's go. Ben, get the ding and the buzz ready here.
These are very, these are promises that as a Choi Kwan Joeian, Davis Mills should be trying to live up to.
Let's hear it.
To always do my best and never give up.
I think he does that. I think he's
like a George Springer thing too. Remember when he was talking to that kid? He said, "Just promise me you'll always do your best."
Right.
He was talking to that kid with the blue
jeans.
Right.
And that kid's name was Davis Mills.
Yeah. It was George.
Can you imagine?
Davis Mills was sitting up there. In the first
2 inches
row.
Taller than.
hey kid. Obey my parents and teachers. He seems like the kind.
I think so. His parents seem to like him at least. Yeah.
To always be polite.
Yeah, he's very polite. Yeah.
Now there's a
key. This is a martial arts. Always be polite. What the hell?
Yeah, they say that's awesome.
You get your ass kicked.
No, dude. They say that martial arts is the best thing you can have your kids do to teach them like to be polite and respectful.
Oh yeah, they bow.
Really? Yeah. Very, very
respect
big.
The opponent.
Respect. Yeah. Okay. There's a twist on this one.
Yeah.
To tell the truth and honor my word, but honor is spelled the Canadian way. I don't know if I like this martial art anymore.
No, I do.
But you speak American here, fella.
But do we think that Davis Mills holds up that tenet of the Troy?
Yeah, I think he tells the truth and honors his word, and to never misuse what he uses in class. I haven't seen Davis Mills get into fights the same way I've seen. It was Bill's quarterback. It was
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Yeah, Josh Allen got into it with a nose tackle. Yeah. All right, so ding on that one as well.
So he said he was a black belt.
Yeah, I can tell. Look, he checks all the boxes.
Well, you have to go through a whole list of moves. But you know, the Barro, the Key Hop, the Suiso, all the classic Choi
Kwan
Joe.
You and I know
moves.
Those. Yeah, of course. We might have to explain them for the audience.
It took me like a full afternoon to learn the Kumon.
I feel like these are also on Urban Dictionary somewhere.
No, I'm looking at those are translated. That's the finish, the continue. Mm-hmm.
Definitely on Urban.
Yeah, these do
sound that's what
like
we need to do.
Commands.
We need to cross reference the Troy Kwan Joe moves with Urban Dictionary and see how many are on there. Hey, join Clint Sterner and the show, Big City Wing, Cinco Ranch, Miller Lite Football Friday. That's tomorrow, 2 to 6. Hang out, wings, cold drinks, and getting you ready for the preseason opener on a Miller Lite Football Friday. All right, yesterday. Seth said he sabotaged In the Loop yesterday. Let's take a listen back in the next segment and see if Seth indeed sabotaged the midday show.
Oh boy, yesterday. I'm nervous about that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so yesterday out at Texans Training Camp, practice ended as usual around 10, 10:30, 10:45. All the players are done doing their media. They've done their interview with In the Loop. They've done all their media sessions. And In the Loop is still out there doing their show as they've been doing throughout training camp. Out in the parking lot, there was a big, a festival-like atmosphere out there as Cal McNair and Hannah McNair led the charge with me and Ron the Show Hughley as two of their workers to flip burgers and cook burgers and hot dogs for all of the fans out there. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time interacting with the fans. It was cool to see. The food was delicious, if I may brag a little bit. Everybody thought the burgers were amazing.
Yeah, they looked like big old burgers. Those weren't like little...
they were tasty.
They were little single patties.
No. They did it big out there. So that was a lot of fun. John Lopez came over. It was weird because I got there around like... I got to the tent where they were cooking them around, I don't know, like 11 o'clock or so maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's John Lopez
standing
there with his phone interviewing Cal McNair underneath the tent. And I'm looking and I'm going, hey... Don't you have a show to do right now?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Little did I know, back on their show, there were things going on.
I was standing, I was waiting to do something with Matt Musil for KHOU. He'd asked me to go record something with him, and it was hot, and I was miserable, as you know.
Yes.
By that point, it's like, what, 5 hours we've been out there?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
6 hours we've been out
there. So you
were
back in the practice facility where Landry was still doing the show.
Landry was still doing the show.
Yeah.
And Matt had the camera set up, and I was kind of waiting for Matt, but then Landry said, hey, can you come on with us real quick? And I assumed, because he said Lopez is going over to the grilling area. And in my mind, this is where I made, you know the old saying, when you assume you make an ass out of you and me?
Yeah.
I made an ass out of at least me, maybe not Lopez. I assumed I was going on for like 90 seconds while Lopez got over and would be on either a mic or a phone or something, calling over and explaining.
Oh, no, Lopez is practically doing a sit-down interview.
Well, I didn't know. My point was, I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And then, meanwhile, Matt Musil, who works like 18-hour days and everything,
yes.
Was at some point was going to need me this for this interview. So I jumped on, and I realized, like, a few minutes into it, Matt Musil was standing over in the heat. And I'm still on the air, and I don't remember. I haven't listened to this yet.
Oh boy.
I felt awful about it afterwards. I felt like I was stuck between two obligations, and I don't think I handled it in the best way.
Hey, what are we doing here? What's like? Why am I on the radio right now?
Lopez. It's interesting. So Lopez is talking to Cal McNair.
Okay.
AKA probably just trying to get free plugs for his barbecue sauce. Lopez just saw an opportunity.
Did he just leave?
He just left.
Because I've got responsibilities and obligations that I was supposed to do. But so
no, go do them.
Oh no! I'll be all right. I think I'm past them. I just thought that like Lopez was going to be coming on or something.
No, Lopez.
Did he just left in the middle of the radio show?
He's just interviewing Cal.
Okay, so how did Seth handle that? I don't think you...
In my mind, I was kind of like, I felt very...
Well, you were feeling miserable physically at the time, probably.
You know what I felt like? Yeah. I felt like Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones. When, you know, you've got pledges to this and pledges to that, and they're all in conflict with each other.
Yeah, it's tough.
And you've got different loyalties and everything. Mm-hmm. I felt like Jaime Lannister, all except the murdering and the incest parts and everything.
Yeah, yeah, those parts.
The dashingly good-looking part, yes, yes.
Yes.
So, okay, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
No, I thought you handled it okay.
I think Landry's going to take that drop, what am I doing on air right now, and turn it into just me sounding really lost and haphazard and everything. Yeah.
Dude, it was hot out there yesterday, though.
The day before was when I was reading that article. I was walking in the parking lot reading the article about how Yordan, like, that very moment was out at his baseball camp on a Tuesday.
What are you thinking, dude?
I don't... Well, baseball's different because you play 162 of those. I do think that, like, the people that work with the athletes need to do a better job sometimes of understanding, hey, maybe don't schedule an August baseball camp on the same day he has a baseball game.
Like their handlers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, you know, but the best thing for a 240-pound dude isn't to be out in the heat for 3 hours.
Right.
You know, working with kids, which is awesome. And you could have done it on Monday on the off.
Not when your team's in a pennant race.
Yeah,
if you play with the Royals or something.
Yeah, do it like with the Royals where you could say that you would. Why bother?
You can do three camps in one day on the day of a game if you're a Royals.
Yordan Alvarez, when asked why he was spending time out in the heat with children before the game, said, these guys are pretty much as good as the guys I'm playing with. That's what he would say if you're on the Royals.
That's right. Exactly. Back to Ninja Throwing Stars from the previous segment.
Davis Mills disclosed to Pat McAfee that he was a black belt in Choi Kwong Cho, which is a style of martial arts that does include using throwing stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
theory on how kids got throwing stars back in the day, mm-hmm. before you could just buy them on the internet. And we've gotten several people sending in websites where we can buy them.
Yeah, I'm buying one right now.
The kid, this is 281-687. The kids with the ninja throwing stars back in the day were the kids, now this may be accurate, the kids whose parents were divorced and their dad wanted to be cool and buy them stuff like
that.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah. My dad was never that cool, I guess.
He never bought you ninja throwing stars?
No. And I feel, wish I could have talked to him about this before he died.
I feel like with all the stories of your dad.
those were his dying words. It's like, son.
There's a really important conversation we need to have.
I regret never having bought you Chinese ninja throwing
stars.
Dude,
with some of the stories you've told about your dad, I'm surprised he didn't have his own Chinese ninja throwing stars.
He didn't manufacture them or something? Yes. Yeah, he probably did.
His own warehouse where he was selling them.
I kept looking around at memorial service waiting for one of my unknown siblings to show up. Like I was looking for somebody between the ages of like 10 and 55 that looked kind of like us, but not quite. It might have been one of his kids.
That's funny.
I'm going to get a throwing star. It reminded me of like, oh, hey, I live in an age now where I can buy a throwing star and, you know, scare intruders with it.
Bring it out to the pregame show on Saturday. What could possibly go wrong?
I didn't see any regulations against throwing stars.
Don't they have metal detectors when we go in, though? They do, don't they? Yeah.
I could probably get like a composite material or something.
Seth going through metal detectors in the media section, tosses his phone in the bin, his keys in the bin, and then three ninja throwing stars into
like
the bin.
If I'm going to the DMV or
something. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like the guys working, the cops working at the DMV are probably pretty, you know, like cool with it. Like there's not a whole lot of, most people are smart enough not to go to a government office like doing stuff.
With ninja stars, yeah.
Except, oh, let me tell you a real quick government office story.
Sure.
Back when I was doing oil and gas, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life after I was done playing football, I worked oil and gas. I was a landman in Western PA. Where they were fracking at the time.
What's a landman do?
You do all various things related to and concerning the oil and gas, the mineral rights to people's property.
Gotcha.
So it's like title searches, getting people signed up, releases, all that stuff.
Okay.
But for me, I was doing a lot of work in the courthouse. It's fun. It's kind of being like a private detective / attorney. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But going to these courthouses in these small little Western PA towns, the most jarring thing I ever saw was I pulled up. And there was only parking available was in the family court section.
Mm-hmm.
I pull up it, right in front of the family court next to this woman who's sitting in her car with the windows rolled up. She's got two toddlers in the front seat who, safety conscious as she was, had the seatbelt on them. You know, like the shoulder strap and everything.
One seatbelt over two kids?
Yeah, over the two kids, yeah.
Jeez. One of the kids is probably getting strangled.
As she was viciously inhaling her Marlboro Red.
Yes.
Yeah, with the windows closed.
I'm kill these kids multiple ways.
I wanted to skip work and go to family court that day and figure out what the hell was going on with these kids.
Holy cow. Yeah. Dude, Western PA, man. Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know what to do in that situation. I kind of felt like, should I talk to this lady? This is some serious stuff. But what are you going to do? She's at family court.
She was probably there for a reason.
Somebody else was probably going to take care of her. No, she was definitely there for a reason. Yeah. That was the sad part of it.
Oh, man.
So I gave her a throwing star and said, look, these kids are going to have to learn how to fight. I can tell you that right now.
See, I gave you
all the throwing stars I have. Okay.
That story was going somewhere.
Teach a woman to stop smoking in front of her child and you've helped her out for one day. Give her kids some throwing stars, and she'll have a lifetime of entertainment.
People are critiquing your 30 seconds that we played from In the Loop.
Oh, okay.
On whether or not you were rude
to
Landry. 713-503. I was listening live. I didn't think you did anything wrong.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
409-351. Seth was frank and concise, not rude or arrogant like Pendergast.
Like, why am I on the radio right now?
I felt awful about it, and I apologized to Landry like four times afterwards. Landry doesn't seem to think it was a big deal, but you know Landry. Landry might have already told 18 of his closest friends about what a jerk I am. So I don't. I feel like it might be kind of
probably wouldn't be the first time he's done that though.
I know. That's why I'm
distraught. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday here. We've got Texans radio coming up at the top of the hour. We've got the first preseason game coming up on Saturday, 7 o'clock kickoff. Seth and I have Texans countdown starting at 4. Clint and I will be on the postgame show. Football is here.
Mm.
Football is here. And we'll get to some of that in headlines because there are storylines surrounding some of the games coming up over the next couple of days, non-Texans related. We'll get to the Astros as well. Also, an NFL player had a tweet about something they stopped doing.
Yeah. One of the dumbest things. It's just an incredibly stupid thing.
Would this player have been a Hall of Famer if he actually did this one tiny thing that he stopped doing years ago? That is next.
I bet he's got some nice suits, though.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Tony Jefferson is a safety for the Baltimore Ravens. He's been around the league quite a while. He tweeted this last night.
I give him credit for tweeting this.
You do?
I think this is something I might just realize.
How dumb it was at the time when he tweeted it?
I might just silently go about my business and hope that it improves my play. Yeah.
He says this: I can't even lie. I stopped wearing my glasses years ago, and that might have been the dumbest thing I've done. I can see so much clearer and further with my glasses. It's wild.
It's like, it's a huge revelation. The part,
this guy plays safety in the NFL.
It wouldn't have been as bad if he had just said he stopped wearing his glasses. You're like, oh, whatever. But the fact that he's blown away by the fact that those things
he can see,
those things that have been used for centuries to help people see clearer and further, actually do what they're supposed to do. I bet when he stopped wearing it, it wasn't that bad. Maybe it's like he didn't notice that much of a difference, and now it's gotten worse, and he realizes it.
These replies are amazing.
There are quite a few people saying, like, yeah, I know, it's dumb, but I did it myself. Like, a lot of people just, I could see maybe just you get by and you just don't think about it too
much. I'll say this.
If they don't play professional football.
That's exactly right.
A position at safety where they talk nonstop about reading the quarterback's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
From you 30 need to, and 40 yards away.
You probably need to see better than 20 over 100 to do that, I would think.
Take your glasses off and then tell me what the person standing 40 yards from you is doing with their eyes.
Someone says, what do you do during games? The very first reply, what do you do during games? And he replied, he said, I've just been going out there regular, SMH. Just got my contacts, too.
He said, I wasn't wearing anything. I used to wear contacts and glasses in college, but I've stopped. He might end up being. This might be kind of like when Josh James fixed his sleep apnea and he started throwing 5 miles per hour faster.
Tony Jefferson can see now.
What if he has sleep apnea, too, and fixes that?
Oh, my God. He's going to become Ronnie Lott.
I'm going to put him up for DPOY.
That's exactly it. So, yeah, he's back with the Ravens now.
So I was reading this very early this morning, and I was like, what are some of the really dumb things I've done? Because I've done some stupid things. And for the life of me, I think it was too early in the morning, and I couldn't think of anything. So I texted Brandy, and boy, did she let it rip. Like, I was like kind of worried about our unlimited data testing the limits of how many texts she had for me.
What did she tell you?
Hell, my God. And she was coy about it too. She's like, gosh, I can't think of anything. You're so smart. But here's 17 things in 3 seconds.
Give me some good examples. What are some of the things she brought up?
Yeah, you went through hernia surgery and then still stupidly lift heavy things yourself.
That was pretty recently, right?
Yeah, I've got my second hernia right now. I'm working on one a year.
You're collecting hernias.
So my hernias per year.
You're very efficient.
I'm one per year right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Moving so frequently.
You do move a lot.
She's complicit in that. It's psychologically, financially, parentally, a really stupid thing to do, and yet we get bored. We're like nomads.
I feel like
we're nomads, but with much more stuff.
I feel like your daughter's going to benefit from that, though.
These army brats always love the way they were raised. Yeah.
No, but like when you move around, you know, that's kind of the school of hard knocks a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you learn that all relationships end and not to get too close to anybody. And yeah, that's great. It's great what we did for my child.
Don't die, everybody.
Maybe I'm wrong.
The biggest thing, I made a business decision. And this actually, there's a football correlation to this. When I was done playing football, I was found, I discovered that I thought I had a plan for what I wanted to do, but I didn't quite have a plan for what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was different. Like, I realized some different things about myself. And I ended up making an investment with a dude that ended up being a really shady dude. And this is where I didn't, the really dumb thing about it was that I didn't listen to Brandy on this. Because Brandy's got a high capacity for jackasses, hence our 20-year marriage.
Yeah.
And she felt that this guy was no good. She's like, "There's, I don't know, man. This guy's just, he's different." And I was like, "No, no, you know, let me mansplain this to you why it's a good idea." And like 2 years later, and some losses later, yeah, she was way right. Like, I knew like a month into the thing that it was like, "Oh, I made a big mistake." So not listening to my wife on that was that, and she didn't even bring that one up.
Did she? Okay, so you brought that. I was, yeah. That was my next question. Oh. Did she gloat about that for a while?
But the connection, she didn't gloat about it. Yeah. No. She would have preferred to be able to go out and buy some more shoes, I'm
absolutely
guessing, or something, like, you know.
Yes.
So I think that the correlation I'd make is like, okay, that was in a period of transition in my life, mm-hmm. and where I was kind of trying to figure out where to go, and I was kind of taken in by somebody that was a little bit of a con artist.
Sure.
I think sometimes, like, maybe when a football team is in transition. And maybe you're kind of looking for guidance, or you're not exactly sure about things, that maybe you can be susceptible to different influences.
Okay.
I think we're through that area now with
the Texans. Texans. Yes. Yeah. I think that's the sense I get as well.
I think we passed through a couple of years that were understandably, you're going through a period of transition, not to mention emotional grief and everything, where things feel a lot better this year.
No doubt. Things feel back to normal for sure.
The one thing that I would tell any young person right now,
yeah,
especially people that are either into crypto or anything else, this is a lesson I learned. You learn this, lots of people learn this when they're in their 20s and 30s, and hopefully by then, you're going to live through a bubble or two, and just don't put all your eggs in one basket. Whatever you do, I'm not sitting here saying that anything is not a bad idea or a good idea or anything. But in 1999, boy, if you were investing in a brick and mortar business, I thought you were the dumbest dinosaur on earth.
Yeah,
and it's all about dot coms.
It's all going to the web.
You morons, you idiots. And Warren Buffett was being like mocked for you know, telling people to take it slow on the dot coms and what have you.
Right.
That was like, I'm glad I learned that lesson early, because I was all tech. And I got just absolutely destroyed in the bubble.
You're saying
of 99.
You learned it early in your life?
Like, early in my, relatively early in my adult life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you learn that when you don't learn that lesson until you're 45, all of a sudden you got no time to recoup.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Your savings is gone. Absolutely.
So, no, but yeah, Warren Buffett got up and told a story. And this is right when everybody was going nuts for anything that had a .com. There were companies that weren't even companies yet, but they had a .com.
Oh,
and they were like,
they had valuations through the roof.
He told a story about how in the early days of the automotive industry, there were like 200 automotive companies. And of course, yes, auto is the next. Yes, the automobile is an incredible thing to invest in. But like, it was really, really an awesome investment to throw all your eggs into one basket if you knew somehow that Ford or General Motors, or Chevrolet, or one of like only several companies. All the rest, you know, failed miserably and died on the vine. So you never know exactly. Yes, the industry is good, but that doesn't mean that your individual selection is
right. You
got to
pick the right ones. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get some headlines in before we get to the top of the hour. And Tony Jefferson, good on you for finally finding your glasses and your contacts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
Hey, by the way, he was probably mocked for that whole revelation on Twitter, Tony Jefferson. Can you imagine if he were a baseball player and he did
that?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you've got to literally see, like, the laces on the baseball to do your job.
Baseball players get, like, special LASIK surgery that's, like,
yes,
even better than the normal stuff.
Right. They get the good stuff.
You get, like, it takes a while to adjust because you see the individual pixels on a television screen.
Right, yeah. right. Yeah, no, he would have been fired, probably.
Love to see a pixel.
Texans are back at it tonight for practice. We're in studio today. They're not practicing outdoors today. It'll be an indoor practice at the stadium tonight as they get ready for the New Orleans Saints coming to town on Saturday. There is preseason football tonight, a couple games tonight, including the Giants and the Patriots. The Ravens are going for their 21st consecutive preseason victories.
This is the most meaningless stat in sports that is the most intriguing, I think.
They play tonight as well against the Titans.
This is they're the opposite. The Bills back in the day under Marv Levy used to notoriously lose all their preseason games. And they didn't worry about it. That was Marv Levy's thing. He played all the undrafted rookies, and because of that, like, they were a haven for undrafted rookies to go to, because, like, so they ended up getting really good ones because people, they knew, and they just didn't care about losing. That was as they were going to Super Bowls.
Dude, okay, so that was my question.
That was when they were good, yeah.
That was when they were good while they were going to Super Bowls. You know that if the yelling at each other TV was going on back in the early 90s, that there would be some talking head that would tie their winless preseasons to their inability to close the deal
in the
Super
Bowl.
That's
the reason that they couldn't. That's the reason they only went
to
Super
Bowl. You need to take things seriously from pillar to post, from wire to wire. That's why they're losing in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was mostly because Marv Levy was a Harvard man that they couldn't make it.
Did he go to Harvard?
I think so, didn't he? They had like an MBA from Harvard.
He was very smart. Yeah.
I want to say he went to a smaller college and got an MBA from Harvard or a master's from Harvard.
So the other story with preseason football.
But as far as the Ravens go, though.
Yeah.
That one is that part is really interesting. There's something about the ethos of the Ravens where that doesn't feel like a mistake. They are just like, I think they've got that feeling of, we're going to fight you no matter what. If it's a competition, we want to win it.
21 in a row. I mean, they're going for 21 in a row. They didn't play any preseason football games in the COVID year. I mean, I'm just doing the math. This thing goes back to like 2016. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. That's wild. They play the Titans tonight. It's in Baltimore for those who want to bet on early preseason football. The other story with preseason football, Seth, is that Deshaun Watson made the trip to Jacksonville with the Browns, and he is going to, as of right now, barring a decision from Peter Harvey, who's seeing the appeal for Deshaun Watson's suspension, barring a decision on that, he will start for the Browns tomorrow night against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So
I am intrigued.
I really am interested to see if they follow Trevor Lawrence around to see if he, you know, has any interactions with Deshaun Watson.
They for sure will.
Yeah, so
that'll get captured.
Is it a nationally televised game? It's on Friday night.
Yeah, it's Friday night, 6 o'clock. Yeah, on the app I'm on, it doesn't say it's nationally televised.
I have the European version of the NFL Game Pass because that's the only good one.
The new one, you get all the preseason games. The NFL Plus or whatever it is.
I'm never buying anything from that NFL streaming service again other than the NFL European one.
What if I get it and then I tell you it's not too bad, Seth?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, honestly, I'm so disgusted by the way the NFL has handled its customer service with that fiasco. So the NFL Game Pass, everybody, was this thing you can get game film from going back a decade. You get any game from like the TV copy going back a decade or what have you. But last year they changed a bunch of things that were absolutely awful on the American version of it. But this is the problem that I've had. Like, through several years of working with the NFL, which is a monopoly, remember? They have government protections to be a special monopoly.
Yep.
I've sent multiple customer service requests and never gotten a single response.
Not even
back.
An email back.
Just absolutely absurd. You go to their website, and at least the last time I looked, there was not even a way anymore to even contact customer service.
Wow.
It's astounding.
That's crazy.
It's astounding. It's like, honestly,
so they don't even have contact us, and it doesn't even tell you how to get in touch with
them. Really, they should be sued over it if you knew how to contact one of their attorneys.
Exactly. That's great. Next headline, Rangers-Astros. The Rangers win last night in extra innings, 8-4 over the Astros. It really got away from Philip Maton in the 10th inning last night. He gave up all the runs. Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker both hit home runs. That was good to see. Need those guys to get swinging the bat well again. I guess the big story, and we haven't dug into this too much, Seth. Lance McCullers is back. He's back in our lives at a major league level.
And it was
he'll be starting on Saturday against the Athletics.
His last start in Sugar Land was underwhelming, but I felt like the stats did a little bit of a disservice to it. The thing that people were most understandably concerned about was that his velocity was way down on his sinker. You know, he let up some runs, but it was all very soft contact. So for a ground ball pitcher like Lance, you know, with major leaguers playing behind him instead of minor leaguers and what have you, that part, I think the results were okay. It's just that they must feel like, okay, the velocity, like there was a reason that was lower, and we understood that and expected it. So let's get him back out there.
This is, this is a big milestone this weekend. This Lance McCullers coming back. I guess the plan that they put together for him, I'm happy with it so far, and that he hasn't had any setbacks along the way.
They're leading the AL without they're tied, they led after the Yankees had lost last night. They were ahead by half a game.
Right, there you go.
They're at the top of the AL. They've done it with it various times on the roster, either on the IL or active. They've had 19 starting pitchers. And it feels like that at times.
Yeah.
So for him to come back a couple weeks after Odorizzi leaves, you might have this pleasant problem of having too many pitchers.
Well, they're going with a 6-man rotation.
Right. Right. Yeah. But it gets harder to do that as you get to where there are actually more breaks in the schedule now too. So they'll have to. I don't get the hand-wringing about that, because they've done it so many times now over the past few years that it's a logistical headache, and it's not. I guess people don't like the uncertainty.
Yeah.
People don't like not knowing exactly how it's going to look and just having the certainty of just going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think the thing that'll be interesting to watch evolve over his first couple starts will be the conversations about, okay, what version of Lance do we need to get in order for him to be an automatic rotation guy come October?
Yeah.
You know, like, what level do we need to see him have pitched at to where he's anything beyond piggybacking with Javier or something like that? He threw 86 pitches his last time out in Sugar Land.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 86 good pitches, that's 5 or 6 innings right there. 86 bad pitches, he's gone by the fourth.
I feel like the fact that he went 86 and then he immediately starts in his next, he goes, gets moved up for his next start.
Yes.
I feel like they must feel pretty rock solid about where he is right now.
The medical people, at least,
yeah,
right?
You
know, who knows what the pitching coaches think.
Maybe Lance, he's always fought becoming a reliever.
Yeah.
Maybe if he goes and does the Aaron Rodgers spiritual journey in the offseason, he'll, just like Aaron Rodgers, become so attuned to the universe and that he is one of many, not just one by himself.
That does not feel like his deal. McCullers.
No.
He's intense.
I feel like he'd want to arm wrestle Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And then Aaron Rodgers would have some holy reason for why he couldn't do it.
Unbelievable. All right. We are done.
It's unbelievable that he turned down that arm wrestling match. Yes.
We are done. We are out of time. I'm just filling time. So.
Yeah, I know.
All right. We're back at it 6 a.m. tomorrow, 4-hour show. We're back to the 4 hours tomorrow. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer are up next. Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies.
Thank you.
Throwing stars.
There you go. All right, we're done. We're out of time. See you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
Like, why am I on the radio right now?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.